So last year, God was calling us to rebuild that foundation. It was not an easy call. It was a call of repentance. We missed it. We were in sin as a church. Let's face it, you know? That's the reason we were getting all dwindled down and everything. We were just missing it. And so we didn't plan any new ministries, any new programs. We didn't come up with any new ideas to do as a church. We spent the entire year just trying to refocus on who Jesus was calling us to be. And for sure, we still have some room to go, right? We haven't fully achieved it. We haven't fully obtained it. But we're heading in the right direction. And we've seen just a taste of that. We were being called to change, not really what we were doing, but what we were getting called to do is to challenge our heart motive. Why am I doing this? And how am I doing it? You know, we were, and out of that question and out of that challenge came those core values. Our core values of sacrificial integrity, of unstoppable love, sacrificial integrity, and spirit-led ministry. We were kind of getting called back to change who we were. You know, everybody loves that TV series. Well, Becky loves that TV series, right? This Is Us, right? And that was kind of what we were getting questioned about. Who are we? Who are we and who are we not? Are we a people that come together? Do we enter his courts with grumbling and whining and complaining? Do we enter his courts, you know, tearing down the leadership and gossiping to each other? Or do we enter his courts with thanksgiving and praise? Do we enter his courts, no matter what's happening, you know, with giving him the glory and the honor that he's worthy of? So when these core values are lived out, so we're kind of taking the next step. That was rebuilding the foundation. That was God defining who he wanted us to be as a church and how we were getting called to minister to one another and to serve each other's needs in the community. But when these core values are lived out, when we embody them more fully, when they become more than words, the church is full of words, but the kingdom of God is not a matter of words. What does his word tell us that his kingdom is about? It's action. Right? It's about action. It's not about your words. It's about your life and your lifestyle. So when we embody these more fully, and when we essentially just begin to what? Treat people the way we want to be treated. That's essentially what we're getting called to do. When you do that, something manifests. Something comes into existence. We obtain the fulfillment of why Jesus gave us these core values. He had an intent and a purpose behind giving these to us. And whenever we live those things out, the result is what our 2020 vision is. And we're going to start. I know, everyone's just dying, right? The anticipation's killing me. Because the Lord gave this to me like a long time ago, and I just didn't realize it. I didn't understand it until he explained, you know, what his vision was for this year. We're going to start with chocolate, right? And that's not our vision for this year, but chocolate's good, isn't it? I mean, come on. It's awesome, right? It's sweet. It's creamy. It's melting your mouth goodness. I know very few people who don't like chocolate. Even, I know a few people who are allergic to chocolate, and they still love it. Like, give me a Benadryl and give me that chocolate bar, you know? I mean, right? We enjoy it. Chocolate is comprised of essentially three different components, and most of us know this. You have cocoa, cacao. Megan likes to correct me depending on what you're looking at. You have some type of oil and some type of sweetener. That's really it. It's three very basic components, and you can use all kinds of different ways of making that. Out of that comes this amazing delicacy. Like, just, we love it. I mean, we spend billions of dollars every year on just chocolate, you know? But this kind of reminds me of who God is, right? God is three in one. Three distinct, unique persons, yet working together in complete unity. One person, three gods, a triune Godhead. Unlike God, however, the three components of chocolate, they're not really the best on their own, are they? Right? You ever go grab some vegetable oil and chug it? Not the best experience, right? Sugar? Granted, it's kind of good on its own, but after a couple, I've got diabetes and sometimes I hit a low and there was nothing in the house, so I ate some sugar. Trust me, after a couple spoonfuls, it's not the best either. I had an experience growing up, okay? I was like most kids, you know, I snuck around the house and I found this container of Hershey's chocolate that mom kept hidden in this drawer. So I grabbed a spoon, I popped open this chocolate thing, and I took a big old spoonful, you know? Ugh. Choked, gagged, ugh. Trust me, cocoa on its own is not pleasant. It is bitter. It is, yeah, you don't want it. But when they're combined, it's awesome, right? You know, when we combine them, the result is delicious. And even just the aroma of chocolate being made. Anybody ever go to Hershey's and go into Chocolate World? Yeah, I mean, just the aroma of chocolate being made is awesome. When I make no-bake cookies at home, and essentially that's what you start out with, right? You've got the cocoa and milk and butter and sugar, and when you just start cooking that, the kids come running out of their bedrooms. That smell of chocolate being made is amazing. And the other cool thing about chocolate is that just slightly adjusting the ratio of those three components, just slightly adjusting them, and you get a completely different experience, right? I mean, there's that 95% cocoa, anybody into the dark chocolate stuff, I'm more of a sweet chocolate person, Becky's more into dark chocolate, opposites attract, but you get these different experiences, all from just slightly adjusting those ratios. Not only this, but the possibilities of the deliciousness beyond those components, you name anything. Like, you can almost combine anything with chocolate and it's good. I mean, it could be combined with peanut butter or chocolate, or hazelnut is my new favorite, I mean, Nutella doesn't last long in our house. We have to leave it out, It's so good. Combined with caramel or marshmallows or just about any other kind of flavor, and it's just good. Chocolate can have added to it. Not only can you mix different flavors with chocolate, but you can add things like Rice Krispies or fruits or nuts or different candies, chocolate syrup or chocolate fudge. You put that over things like ice cream or cheesecake, or you stir it into some milk. I mean, it just makes everything better, doesn't it? It's just good. So good. And I don't know, Megan, can I have you give me a hand here? I know it's kind of tough to sit here and hear about chocolate, so you guys all can have a chocolate bar while we're understanding. I mean, I want us to really get the vision this year, right? I really want us to be able to handle and taste and see and smell. I want all your senses involved in the vision this year, okay? It's going to be good. You can combine it. And now, not everyone, there is preferences, right? Not everyone prefers the same combinations. For myself personally, I think it is disgusting to combine chocolate with like orange or raspberry. I've tried it. I don't like it at all. But some people love it, right? We have preferences. Sometimes we like certain combinations and others we don't. I don't know why anybody would ever put orange and chocolate together. It's just wrong in my opinion, my preference, but not everybody agrees out there, right? Some people like that combination. Also, some things taste great on their own with chocolate. You can have raspberry with chocolate and orange with chocolate, but sometimes when you combine the three of them, like raspberry and orange and chocolate, it's not the best, right? For example, maybe coffee and chocolate, really good combination, right? Mocha, like when I was going to seminary, that's the way I got introduced to coffee, was I would put a packet of hot chocolate in with my coffee, and I liked it that way, that was all right. Also chocolate and strawberries are a great combination, right? Chocolate-covered strawberries, Valentine's Day coming up, right? But the combination, strawberry coffee, you don't see that on shelves, do you? Like strawberry coffee chocolate, probably not the best combination, right? Some things just don't fit. Or salty potato chips and chocolate. Anybody ever have chocolate dip? Yeah, they are delicious. They're just awesome, They're a great combination. But we talked about raspberry and chocolate. Like raspberry potato chip chocolate, just not really a good mix, right? So you've got that going on. Not exactly going to hit the top sales chart of a sweet shop. So all this being said and all this being experienced, what does chocolate have to do with the vision this year? What does all of this mean? Because we have a pretty good understanding of that, right? We all love our chocolate. We love the different combinations. And I love going to a place like Hershey that, when you go to the factory, they always have these new things that they're just trying. They just experiment with things, and they throw these different flavored of Hershey Kisses out there, I remember, you see them on the shelves now, the hazelnut Hershey Kisses, the big ones. Before they were on shelves, we got to taste one at Hershey, and it was awesome. I'm glad that it caught on and spread. But what does all this have to do with God's vision? God's vision for this year is very simple. It's a simple word. It's a simple concept. But we'll see just how complicated it can truly be. And that word is family. Family. God is calling us this year to be a healthy family. Now we see families everywhere, right? I mean, let's face it, not every family is healthy. In fact, you know, most families today are very broken and whatnot. I mean, even looking at our own church, you know, most of us come from broken families, you know, have challenges or struggles that way. But this year, and I love it because we had Russ Klein come out last week and he pretty much just already confirmed everything we were planning to share. You know, this year, God is calling us to rediscover and reconfirm our unique identity as a church family. Our unique identity. There is something different about this local church family that's different from everyone else. We have strengths, we have weaknesses, you know, all those kind of things. But we're getting called to kind of rediscover those. And even as it's fun discovering what chocolate's good on and what chocolate's not, you know, we get to rediscover kind of experientially throughout the course of this year who we are. As we encourage our kids into that, the best way for them to discover who God created them to be, try something. Try it. You could be a world-class, you know, pianist, but if you never touch a piano, you're never going to know that, right? So try it. Give it a try. Follow the lead of God, and if that's not you, then that's fine. We figured that out, right? Rediscover and reconfirm who we are as a church family. A family is defined as this. There's a lot of different definitions out there, but I love this definition because I believe that that is who God's family is called to be. Family is a group of people who genuinely love, trust, care for, and look out for each other. Again, this is not about words. This is about genuinely doing it. Really, truly loving people. Really, truly treating them and caring for them as if though you do. That's what God's calling us to do for one another this year. Family can mean a lot of different things in the same way that chocolate can mean a lot of different things. You ask for a chocolate treat, you never know what you're going to get. There's all kinds of things out there, right? In the beginning, it was Adam and God, right? God created everything, saw it was good. He created Adam. It was God and Adam walking on the face of the earth. And God saw that it was not good for Adam to be alone, right? It wasn't good. And like wives can amen that. It's not good when you leave guys alone. You never know what redneck thing we're going to get ourselves into, you know? It's not good. But think about that for a second. Adam wasn't alone, was he? He walked with God. How could God not be enough of a companion for somebody? I mean, he is perfect. He is sinless. He is everything. And yet he wasn't enough for Adam. He had all the animals. I mean, you know, he was not alone, but he was alone in a respect that goes beyond. You guys know this. You can feel alone in the middle of a crowd of people. Why? Because you don't have somebody you can relate to. That's why God saw that Adam was alone. He didn't have somebody, a companion, that he could relate to. He needed someone who he could live life together with, someone who was like him. And we still need this very thing today, each and every one of us. We need somebody who we can relate to, someone we can live life together with. It's not good for us to be alone. God then, of course, presented Eve to Adam, right? That very first wedding ceremony in the Garden of Eden, when God the Father brought, that's why we do those things today traditionally, the Father brought Eve to Adam. And that they become husband and wife, and then they had children, right? Cain and Abel, and long story short, you know, we have all the nations, and we're here today as a result of that. Family. From the very beginning, God's definition of family in the natural sense was man, woman, children, repeat, right? Man, woman, children, repeat. I mean, it just... And here we are today, you know, as a result of a man and a woman, right? You know, all of us are. And, I mean, I'm not even going to go into all the details, but you see how culture is, like, tearing family apart. What the enemy is trying to do to family, redefine it. You can't even look down and see what gender you are, you know. You can be with all these crazy things going on, and I'm not going to go into all that. But you can see how God's design and God's intent, it always gets attacked. Because there's an enemy out there trying to destroy it. But we know what prevails. So, however, with all that being said, God's definition of family, it went beyond just the natural bloodline, you know, family definition. Even in the Word of God, there are many different types of families. And the Word of God refers to them all. I'm not going to go into these in detail. In the New Testament, the Greek words here used for family that we see in our Bible, genos. That's what we referred to earlier, man, woman, child, repeat. That means biological relationship, or in the scientific sense of the same kind, right? That's the way God created. Isn't that great? That scientists can do that, can come up with the genome and the families of animals and plants, because why? We reproduce after our own kind. Everything and everyone does, right? And then we have the word adelphos, meaning like a brotherhood kind of relationship. These are like, you go out there in the military and you go through things together. You live life together. Things are hard. You kind of become family in that sense, you know, and all of us have this to a degree, a friendship kind of family. Patria, meaning that you have the same nationality or ancestry. We're Americans. We're part of an American family, right? We have that kind of pride in who we are. Then there's oika or oikos, meaning people who dwell in the same household, right? And we still have that today. Households look so different and unique. You know, some children are raised by their grandparents or by adoption or, you know, all those kind of things. Family can mean a lot of different things. And God's word includes them all. Your family. To some, the bonds of family are closer outside of your the genus, meaning your biological relationship. To some, you're closer to people outside of your own bloodline, you know, than others. Perhaps you have a close-knit group of friends you consider family, or members of your community or your neighbors. Maybe you find, you know, your identity as family and people of the same ethnic heritage. Or perhaps it is like a social club, like a motorcycle club or something, and they're more family to you. You know, if you run into problems, you're calling one of them up, you know, more than your own bloodline. This year, God's intent is to have us discover and to develop meaningful relationships and to come together as a church family. God wants you to find belonging. He wants you to find love. He wants you to find trust here in your church family. He wants us to be able to draw closer together so that you have each other's backs. So you're not wondering who's saying something out there stabbing you in the back, right? Behind your back. So that we are together as a family, truly, genuinely loving each other, trusting one another, caring for one another, and looking out for each other. We need each other. That's what God wants to develop here among us. So now back to chocolate. We know chocolate kind of represents God, three in one, right? Everybody who's put their faith in Christ and has received the free gift of his salvation, they are part of a family. We are now children of God. Not everyone's a child of God, but the ones who put their faith in Christ, you've been adopted into his family. Adoption's a wonderful thing, right? Yeah. It's amazing. We are all adopted children into the kingdom of God, into the family of God. We are like all the diverse things that are created with chocolate, because every church family is very diverse as well, right? We all have been placed within Christ and he in us, in the same way that things are placed within chocolate and chocolate in them, and it just makes them good, right? He has created us all uniquely and distinctly from one another, but then he places us into family. In the same way you take all these unique, diverse things and you place them in chocolate, and they're just better, right? We're better together. We're better as a family. We complement each other, even when we might not be all that good on our own. We're better together. Each individual church, they're kind of like a treat that's made from chocolate. They all share a common foundation. Every church out there, United Methodist, Presbyterian, Assembly of God, Church of God, whatever the name is above the door, we all have that common foundation of Christ. Jesus Christ is our foundation. But we're all very unique and different from one another, right? Even within the Assemblies of God, you walk into this church, it's going to feel very different from some of the other churches, right? We're all very distinct and unique. And it is good. That's what God wanted. That's what he desired. We all share that foundation, like chocolate treats share that foundation of chocolate, but we're built very differently and uniquely. Some are dark and reverent. They focus on being separated from the world with a serious devotion to solitude with Christ. Their worship is very private, behind closed doors, right? Some are sweet and celebratory. right? They go out and they invite all the world into an encounter with Christ. And they are publicly zealous about their worship to God. It's not that one's right and one's wrong. They're just different. They're just different. They all serve and worship the same triune Godhead, but their focus and their emphasis varies, just like the different types of chocolate, right? They all focus on the Father, Son, or Holy Spirit in varying degrees. It's just a reality, right? Doesn't make it right or wrong. It's just different. The people who make up those churches, they are all very unique as well. Some churches, they highly value conformity, right? We call that a religious spirit you want to break, but there's not necessarily something wrong with that. Not necessarily. You know, I love Caramellos, you know? You have a consistent, every bite that you take, you know that it's that box of chocolate, and as soon as you bite into it, that same creamy caramel, is going to flow into your mouth, right? It's consistent. There's other candy bars out there. You never know what you're going to get every bite you take. You might get an M&M, you might get a nut, you might get some coconut, you know? And that's sort of what some churches are like, you know? Some churches just have a couple nuts in them, and that's all right, right? They're like a trail mix. You know, there are churches out there that they pride themselves in being a family of outcasts, right? And there's nothing wrong with that. We need every type of church out there in order for Jesus to be appropriately represented to the world, right? We need that. Just as there's countless varieties of chocolate treats, there are countless varieties of church families. They're all different. They're all unique, but they all share that same foundation. And just like walking into Hershey's Chocolate World and you smell that aroma, every church family, however, they should draw the lost to Jesus because of their love for one another. That should draw the world to them. Everywhere that they go, they should carry that aroma with them because they carry the Holy Spirit with them. God's very presence is inside of all of us, right? We focus a little bit more on the person of the Holy Spirit. You know, we're kind of milk chocolate, not dark chocolate, but we all should carry that aroma with us that is appealing and pleasant. We should be salty, you know, to the world around us. So the question this year is, what type of church are we? What type of church family are we? And that's what we're going to spend the year discovering. I can't tell you what kind of church. I know that unconditional love, sacrificial integrity, and being Spirit-led, that is the mixture. That is who God is calling us to be. But beyond that, it's just going to be fun rediscovering. We're a very different church than we were before. We're the new hope, right? The new hope. We've got a whole lot of different people, a whole lot of different talents and gifts and things than we've ever had before. So I think it's time for us to start rediscovering who we are and just to embrace that, right? Because who we are is what this community needs. I'm convinced of it, right? So that's what we need to do. So together, we're coming together to become the new hope. We've already established those core values. That's us. This is us, unconditional love, sacrificial integrity, being Spirit-led. We're not relying, we used to rely on programs very heavily. We're not relying on programs or methods or things anymore. Just because we do it once doesn't mean it's going to become an annual event. We're going to do what the Spirit's leading us to do, because that's where we're going to find success, right? That's where we're going to find it. And so things are going to come and go, and that's fine. This is us. And it is just a reality. There is a reason that there are so many distinct churches out there. Even in our little community, we have so many different types and styles of churches. If someone's attitudes and their behaviors don't fit within that framework, it's okay. We want everybody to be where they fit. We want everybody to be in a church family that they find belonging in. I don't think anybody should ever attend a church and feel like an outcast. I don't want there to be another day of my life where I cringe walking through these doors because of what I'm about to encounter. I don't want to walk through there and get judged and condemned and criticized, right? I'm tired of those days. Those days have been way too many. I've tolerated it for far too long. We want this to be a place where literally people are excited to come to. Because you love one another. You can't wait to catch up with each other. You can't wait to have an encounter with God. You just know He's going to do something good. Those are the days that we want to embrace. Those are the people that we want to be. You know, we need to find a place where everyone fits. Everyone fits. And it's just a matter of finding that sometimes. You know, we want everyone to be in a church family that they belong in. There's a family out there that needs your unique gifts and talents and abilities. There's a church out there that needs the personality that you fit in. There's also a church family out there that has exactly what you need, too, to complement what you're not. Psalm 68, verse 6 says this, God sets the lonely in families. God sets the lonely in families. It's not good for us to be alone. We belong in a church family. And we belong in a church family that we fit in, right? Why continue to be irritated and uncomfortable and try to embitter the rest of this milk chocolate church with your 95% cocoa, right? Why do that? Why try to get everyone else to be as embittered and upset and irritated as you are? I mean, that's just a bad mission, okay? There is a dark chocolate church out there full of people just as embittered and grumpy and grouchy as you are. Go there. You'll be happy. You will feel like you belong, like you fit, right? This is bizarre, I'm sorry, but Megan had mentioned, she's like, it's kind of like on SpongeBob, that episode where Squidward got covered in cement. Anybody ever see that? And he's with these people that look just like him. But inside, he's like dying. He's like, this is not me. And they're forcing him to do things he did not want to do. And they're forcing him to like sing these songs and sway, and he didn't want to do it. And then finally, at the end of the episode, he breaks out of that cement cast. And he's like, ah, I'm not like you. And he went off to be his old grouchy self, right? Find where you fit. Find where you belong, right? Find that community of Squidwards, because we want everyone to be where they belong. And I firmly believe that there are people out there who belong here that are not yet even aware that we exist, right? We want everyone to find a place where they belong, where they can call that home. I want everyone here to be able to kick their shoes off and just be themselves. Just be who you are. That's what we want to be, a church family. So this year, God's calling us to do exactly that, to be exactly that. Now, we're not going to be perfect. We're going to be an imperfect church family because we're made up of imperfect people. We're not going to see eye to eye all the time. That's fine. That's not an issue. That's not a problem, right? Like any family, we're going to have disagreements, and we're going to even fail each other at times. We're going to have issues. But what should help us to gain victory in those things is even when those things happen, we still genuinely love each other. We still genuinely care about each other. We're not going to go around gossiping about our conflict we had with people. We're going to talk to them about it. We're going to deal with it. We're going to, you know, get through it. We want to be healthy. We don't want to be like the family as the world defines it. We want to be like the family the way that God defines it. We're going to let His Word be our guide in all things. Because our genuine love for each other should overcome any disagreement or thing that we don't see eye to eye. We're not going to see eye to eye because we're all different parts of the body. We should not be all in agreement. You know, that's just the case. Our genuine concern for each other should enable us to pick each other up and to move forward. Even when somebody falls flat on their face because of their own stupidity, we should be a genuinely loving and caring enough family to pick them up. Even if it means literally physically, you know, you go and you pick them up and you help them get back on track. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to kick the anointing oil. We need that, right? More and more, the anointing of the Lord. Our genuine care for each other should bring healing and restoration. Healing and restoration, even when we're broken. Sometimes all that we need is somebody who will listen to us and just care about us, even if they can't fix the problem or do anything about it. And that's what we ought to be for one another. Our genuine trust for each other will help us to grow in our faith together. We should be okay with admitting things that we don't understand, things that we can't grasp, even our own failures as a person. We ought to be able to share that with one another and grow together in our faith. Together, as we do those things, we begin to walk in freedom, we begin to grow, we begin to mature in our faith together, because that's what a family is all about, being together. So Psalm 68:6, God sets the lonely in families. God is not calling this to be a divided, dysfunctional family like the world has. The world's seen enough of that. People want a place where they can belong. They actually want free from those family situations. They want to feel a place where they can feel loved and accepted for who they are. And they want to grow, to become better people. That's what we are called to be. to be the hands and feet of Jesus, to be a healthy family, so that the love of God, the freedom of God, can flow in us and through us, reaching the lost. Once again, our focus this year, it's not going to be on what we do as a church. You're not necessarily going to be seeing a calendar of events. We're going to do those as they accommodate being a family. And there will be events and programs developed. There will be. Some things will change. But our focus, again, is going to be on who we are. We are children of God. And we're going to discover what that means. What does that mean that I'm a child of God? What does that change for me? Because it's in this alone that we find our life's value and purpose. John chapter 1, verse 12 through 3, Jesus said this. He said, "Yet all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God." He gave you the right to become children of God. Don't fight it. Embrace it. Discover it. Figure out, what does it mean to be a part of this family? How is it different from my natural families? How is it different from, you know, the family that I've known up to this point? What does it mean to be a child of God? It says in verse 13, "Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or of a husband's will, but born of God." Born of God. We're also going to be focusing on family in the natural sense. We're going to provide opportunities to invest in and to develop families. Especially, of course, the younger generation. They're our future, right? We value all age groups equally. And we need all age groups as a church family. I know this has caused so much conflict in the past, but it's time for us just to understand. God wants us to invest in the future. God is tired of Susie being the only one back there week after week after week investing in the kiddos, you know? And I'm sorry, does anybody else volunteer? Because I don't mean to keep saying, I'm sorry. I'm sorry if I, because I don't look at her schedule to know. I just know that I never see Susie here every Sunday. And I know she's back there, you know? We can say that we value the younger generation, put the rubber to the road, but, you know, I mean, and we need to invest in the younger generation. You know, youth group shouldn't be, you know, myself and now Seth, you know, over there. We need to be investing in, you saw how many 20-somes and younger are here in this church. Over half of our church consists of them. We have no ministry. We have no program. We have nothing for them. You know, it's a shame. Because I know in our early 20s, man, did we need somebody that we could open up to and pour our issues out with, like, how do we figure this thing out? We need that. So we're going to be, you know, looking at what God wants us to do to be investing intentionally in the younger generations. As we grow together as a church family, the natural outcome is going to be that we're going to be better equipped, encouraged, and enabled to take the kingdom of God with us. You're going to be that aroma out there wherever you're at. Ministry is not about these four walls. Ministry is about you outside of these four walls. Wherever you're at, whoever you're around, whatever you're doing, you have opportunities to just be the, you know, Jesus to those people, to be the living word of God that they can see. And that doesn't mean you live a perfect life. That means it's just your faith is always shown more fully through your failures and weaknesses and everything, right? They're just revealed through those things. So anyways, okay, back on track. Galatians 6:10 says this, "Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, but especially those who belong to the family of believers." There's been a mentality that we provide for our own first, and God wants to break that this year. We want to do good to all people. The evil, wicked sinner, you should be loving them the same as you love people here in this building. We want to do good to all people. But we do especially want to make sure that we're doing it here first. It starts at home first. I can't expect my kids to be patient and loving and gracious when at home I am short-fused and ill-tempered. Right? You impart more than you teach. So it starts at home. If we can't love each other here genuinely, there's no way we're going to be effective in loving the lost. And we've seen it. Over the course of my 8 years here, we've brought so many people into this church just to be shoved back out of it because of our lack of love. We say we're loving, but we're not really loving, right? So those days are over. Unconditional love, sacrificial integrity, being spirit-led, these are the things that we are going to now embody as a healthy church family. Because that's what they result in. If we're doing these things, I never thought about it before this vision for this year. as we're doing those things, that's the result. That's the byproduct of us doing that, as we become a healthy family, truly and genuinely. Family, right? A group who genuinely love, trust, care for, and look out for each other. That's the kind of family that God wants us to become and to develop. And it's going to take us all learning and growing together as we do that. Sorry, I thought about ending it here, but I just think a few more points that God wanted to drive home. Ephesians 2, it talks about how we're saved not by our works, but by grace alone. Right? I think we're all in agreement there on those kind of things. He talks about how we're dead in our sins. And Paul encourages the church in Ephesus to remember who you were when you were called. We all chased after the desires of the world at one point in our lives. We all did. But then we were introduced to Christ. And so he goes through and he talks about all these things. And then he ends in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19 through 22. And he says this: consequently, you're no longer foreigners or strangers. You're fellow citizens with God's people. And you're also members of his household. You were built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Jesus Christ himself as the cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and it rises to become a holy temple of the Lord. And of course, after that word this morning, and I understand why God wanted me to go to those verses, even though I struggled to put them in. We are being built together as a habitat, as a dwelling place of God through the Holy Spirit. We're getting built together as a family, as a family. We are all members of God's household. We are God's people. We were once foreigners and strangers. We were once enemies of God. But then the grace of God got a hold of us. Then the goodness of God drew us in to change. God is so, so good. And if he's done that for you and me, he'll do that for anybody out there. It's an open invitation, right? So in 2020, God desires us to develop. God desires to develop us into a new family, into a healthy family. And I can't tell you exactly what that's going to look like or what kind of family we are, but we're going to figure it out as we go through the year together. Together, we're going to embark on this adventure, rediscovering and reconfirming our unique identity as a family. As Psalm 68:6 says, that God sets the lonely in families. And I can't wait to see who God is going to bring into this family. But I want this family to be ready for the lost, the broken, the hurting. You know, I want this to be a place where I don't care how you woke up, you're welcome to come in. You know, I don't care how wasted you might be or whatever. I want people to come stumbling through these doors because we are a family we're called to be prophetic people. I want us to be a people that looks beyond people's current issues to who God created them to be. And I want us to be a family that calls out the good stuff in people. The world condemns them for their, you know, current state. We want to be a prophetic people that calls out their potential, that calls out what God sees in them. But for us to do that, we need to be a people who first sees that in ourselves, right? You need to see who God created you to be. You need to see that you are a child of God. I don't care how much my children screw up. It doesn't change that reality. My love doesn't change for them. I still love them. I still care for them. I still appreciate them. And I still want them to see that reach their full potential. And I'll do whatever I have to do to see that sin forgiven and taken care of. Right? God the Father is no different. We're all children of God. And so I'm looking forward to what God's going to do as we learn to do this. And I want everyone to have the freedom that if you don't feel like you are a fit, if this doesn't resonate with your spirit, if you'd rather just, you know, call out people's sin and, you know, be that kind of person, there's churches out there that do that. And they're needed in the body too, but I don't believe that's who God is calling us to be. So as we continue, even with last year, we lost some people. As we continue through this year, I believe we're going to lose some more people. It's okay, because we want people to be where they belong. Because as you've seen, as people go where they fit, God brings in people that fit so that we can be healthy and whole and complete. No longer divided or getting pulled and all that tension. Nobody likes to be in all that tension, right, and drama. We want to just be at peace. We want to feel like this is home. I want you to kick your shoes off and just relax. Be yourself as we just genuinely love and care for each other. It's going to be interesting to see how this plays out, but I'm looking forward to it. And I already consider just about all you as family, right? Yeah! So Jesus, we thank you. Thank you for adopting us into your family. Thank you for counting us worthy to lay your life down so that we could come together as family. Jesus, forgive us for the ways that we've missed this as a church. Forgive us for the times that we have said or done things that cause division or strife. Lord, this year, help me, each and every one of us, to be peacemakers, to be encouragers. Help us to be the biggest cheerleader for those here in this church family. Help us each to be ones that build everybody up until we all reach our full potential in Christ. And Lord, help us to rediscover who you are calling us to be. Jesus, you are the head of this church. No one's opinion here matters but yours, Jesus. This is your church. This is your church family. Let your will be done here in this place. Help us to embrace who you are calling us to be so that together we can be a lighthouse for this community, so that together we can be effective at seeing people saved, healed, and delivered, all for your glory, Jesus. We thank you so much for the vision this year and for what you're going to do in and through us in your name. Amen.